Alan Crane Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240 for Autumn Semester 2022.
Today, stock valuation. But before we get to the stock valuation, a quick look at the numbers wouldn't hurt. And as you can see, this was a battle day between the bulls and the bears. It started off with the bears in charge, and then somewhere along the way, early in the morning, the bulls came roaring and they blew the stocks really nicely into positive territory. But then the bears took over again, and enough of that, and they slammed the markets back down, which is kind of an odd thing that you would have a day when there was positive information, pushed everything up, and then something annoyed the markets. You can see that this was not just one. S&P 500, Dow 30, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, they all had something, some news, ticked them off, got them upset, and the bears took over. And what that was, it's kind of hard to say. I was looking around what news came out in the mid-morning, that's when it started to turn down. What was it that got them all honked off at that point? And I mean, there's some global news that is troubling right now on the fronts from Russia, with Putin saying that his enemies are going to make a dirty bomb and blow themselves up with it. And then the analysts on China are taking very careful note that this reappointment of China's dictator was attended by him moving all of his ministry officials to very hawkish, attack Taiwan types. So there's some concern that maybe they are about to do the bad deed and just start a war there. And so that could upset the markets, the markets somewhat. If that's the case, is that they're thinking that there's going to be a two-theater war, sort of like two fronts and all that kind of stuff war. So it's hard to say, though, but something really upset the markets. So now going over here, crude oil had a stronger day up, but it's still in that band, 82 to 89. And so notice that it popped up right in there, and then it leveled off. Some are speculating that we are going to replenish the strategic oil reserve the United States keeps. The White House had released a pile of oil from it to calm down the gas prices earlier this year. And now, of course, there's the White House is signaling that they're going to buy oil and get it back into that reserve. So that surge in demand might be why oil has this move up that we saw today for a while, was correcting for an increased demand for a while. Gold and silver, they were up, but it was not anything spectacular. And gold had a spike and then started tailing off when the gold bug stopped getting excited. Coming over here now, the 10-year bond, it dropped. The yield fell by a good 9.3 basis points. That means that the price went up, and that would be the result of buyers of bonds. So what we probably saw was investors selling stocks and using the proceeds to buy bonds. That's probably a mild flight to quality, getting out of the riskier stocks and at least for a little bit getting into bonds, which are a safer investment. Now, the Nikkei, it was very positive there at first, and then it started tailing downward. By the end, it was still in positive territory from where it began, but it wasn't anything spectacular at all. over in London, there were the bears were really in charge, but there was this surge upward, and that maybe they've just gotten a new prime minister appointed, and he is just roundly wiping out the policies of that short-lived predecessor of his. And that seems to have been a very favorable move. The markets are seeing, saying good news, good. We're seeing stability, reasonable policies, and that's why you saw the upsurge there on the FTSE, the Financial Times 100, there in the last couple of hours of day of the trading over there. One way or the other, we'll see how the rest of the week goes. I'm getting killed because I'm having a problem because I'm long, I'm bullish on the Standard & Poor's 500, and of course that wasn't a good idea. So that bullish, I take these kinds of positions. They're essentially like ETFs. And notice that I was creamed during the day, but in the aftermarket, it's recovering. That probably means that tomorrow will be an up day, at least start as an up day in the S&P 500. And then another investment, just to show you how volatile as hell everything is, Twitter. It is still roaring upward, and I use highly leveraged derivatives. So that kind of a movement of 57 cents and then another 44 cents, that translates into about $300 to $400 in a leveraged position for an investment of, in that case, about $100. So if you want to make a lot of money or lose a lot of money, you do what I do. But don't do what I do because you'll probably be as poor as I am. Anyway, enough of that. Going to the stock valuation, I'm going to show you, some of this you do by just key in the formula on your calculator. Nothing really hard. They're not difficult formulas, although I tend to make mistakes anyway. But the key one that is tedious, and it's where you can easily make mistakes, is one where I can show you a trick with a financial app that's not supposed to be used for this, but it works to do this. So these formulas at the first, they're easy. And we get to one where it would just be a pain in the butt to do it by formulas and calculator. I've got an app that can help with that in the your calculator. But to start it off, the one thing about why we are trying to find intrinsic value of a stock. And this is important to us so that if I could have a formula that could give me a reasonable scientific / engineering approach to that intrinsic value, I could then compare that to where the market says the price is right now. And if it's undervalued, I could buy it. If it's overvalued, if I have some of that stock, I could shed that stock, or at least some of it. So the purpose of this is to find those intrinsic values so that we know what we should do given what the market value is right now. And these are formulas that you use. And the easiest one is let's start with this. Perpetuity. We assume that a company is a going concern. Accountants do this, and in finance we do that. In other words, it doesn't have a finite life of necessity. Now, obviously, corporations die, but they don't have to. In your case, madam, you will die someday. I hate to tell you that, but you will. So will you. And you, probably very soon. No. But the thing is that corporations, they don't have a limit on their lives. So we have to treat their cash flows as being infinite in duration. Now, if you've ever tried to calculate an infinite string of numbers, you probably would quit after a while, as we do. Fortunately, and you probably saw this in your last calculus course, I would imagine they showed you infinite series, these sums of numbers that go on for infinity, but they converge on a value. And fortunately, those are in play in what we do in perpetuities, which are infinite cash flows. There's one called a level perpetuity, which is the same amount of money periodically forever. Now, as time goes on, the present values of those cash flows will decline and decline. And the present value, converges on a number. The formula for a level perpetuity, the price right now would be the flat dividend that the company was paying forever divided by the risk that the market was assessing on that stock. This is preferred stock. That's how it works. GTR 1.20% preferred par value $80 per share. In other words, this stock is going to pay the same dividend, 1.2%, 0.012 times $80 every year forever. You'll get a check forever, every year for 96 cents. You just will. Now the one thing here is the R is the market's assessment of what the dividend should be. So even though the dividend will be paid 1.20%, the market might say, that's a little low. We'd like to see it a little higher than that. I'm sorry, that's not correct. 1.2%, let me do that again. I tried to do that in my head, 2 times 80, and I'm pretty sure that's not right. Yeah, it is. Okay. Better arithmetic than I thought I was. Okay. So, this is a classic level perpetuity. Forever, it'll pay the same amount, so we can find its present value of those 96 cent checks that are going to come forever. Now, the risk, R sub F, is what the market says it should pay. So, let's say that the market right now says that it should pay a dividend a little bit more. Let's say 1.3%. Well, then the intrinsic price right now of that stock right now would be the 96 cents divided by 0.0130. Work it out. And the current intrinsic price of that preferred should be 0.96 divided by 0.013, $73.85. So the stock is selling at a little discount to its par value. $33.85. Well, let's say then later on that the market says, well, now it's paying a little more than it needs to. Maybe it should pay 1.10%. So then the intrinsic price would be the 96 cents, the dividend, divided by 0.011, and you would get 0.96 divided by 0.011. And that comes out to be $87.27. So it's selling at a little premium to its par value. Yeah. Not hard to calculate. If I do one of those on a quiz or an exam, it's really easy to get the answer. What if the stock was selling, the market said it's selling exactly, it's paying a dividend that is exactly what we would want it to pay. Our preferred is 1.20. Then the intrinsic price would be 0.96 divided by 0.12, and that would be exactly par value. It would sell at par because it's paying what the market says it should pay. Again, there's nothing hard about this. Valuing preferred stock is pretty easy. The next one, though, is a little bit more advanced. A company that is older, that has a reasonably long history, it will try to pay a dividend that is predictable so that investors feel like there's more certainty with the stock. That would obviously lower the beta and make the big fund managers like the stock. So there is a goal in many corporations to ultimately achieve a growth rate of the dividend that is stable, that will be the same from year to year. In a case like that, we have what is called a constant growth perpetuity. The D will grow at a constant rate. We have a formula for it. Now, you got to be careful with this formula because you will use the dividend one period out divided by the market's expectation of the return minus the growth rate. Now, the D1 will be nothing but the current dividend grown one period, D0 times 1 plus G. Now here, get this in your notes, for heaven's sakes. If I say the dividend, the company just paid a dividend, let's say $1.50, you would need to grow that by one period. If I said it was a growth rate of 3%, you take that $1.50 times 1 plus 0.03. If, however, I say the company is expected to pay a dividend next year of, that I've already given you the D1, you don't need to grow it. So I could put it either way on a quiz and or the final. The dividend, the company just paid a dividend of $2 per share that is expected to grow at 4% for the foreseeable future. Or I could say the company is expected next year to pay a dividend of $1.80. Then I've already given you the D1 and you don't have to adjust it one period up. That's very important. Okay. How do we use this? Well, VLC common has just paid a dividend. $1.50 that is expected to grow at 2.5% for the foreseeable future. If the discount rate to be applied is 2.2%. What is the current intrinsic price of the stock. Intrinsic price of a share. Of VLC common. Okay. Let's get that written down here. Just follow my lead. You take the formula and you stick the numbers in where they go. In this case, the dividend right now, the D0, I said has just paid, so it's D0, $1.50. So D1 is going to be $1.50, grown one year at 2.5%. The R I didn't that 2.2% change that's supposed to be 7.2. 7.2%. R sub S is 7.2%. And the growth rate G is 2.50%. You just put the numbers in. The price right now of the stock would be $1.50 times 1 plus 0.025 divided by the R, 0.072, minus the G, 0.025. That's all you do. For heaven's sakes, make sure you put that denominator in parentheses. So watch carefully while I forget to do that myself. Oops. Okay. So we'll just take the $1.50 times 1 plus 0.025, close the parentheses, divided by, open parentheses, 0.072 minus 0.025. Close the parentheses. Current price of the stock, intrinsic, is $32.71. All you do. These are just calculator routines. Make sure you don't make any, what I do, stupid mistakes in keying in the numbers. But that's all there is to that. Now for the next case. And this is the last one that we can use this dividend growth model on. A lot of companies, when they're young, they're not going to pay a dividend. However, it is well understood by corporations that the big fund managers and other investors like a dividend. So somewhere along the line, the company is going to start paying a dividend. And it's going to be a turbulent dividend at first. It's going to be some number one year and then some other number the next year. Some year it might not even pay a dividend because it needs to reserve the cash for other purposes. So it's going to be unstable. However, the company will understand that there's going to come a point in time when they have to stabilize the dividend. The stable dividend is highly desirable, as I said, to fund managers, to professional investors. Why? Because we can use that formula. We don't have to do incredibly difficult calculations. So how do we deal with that? Where we have a turbulent up and down dividend for a few years, and then it stabilizes. Well, I'm going to draw you a timeline and show you what that would look like on the timeline. And this is just an example. Suppose you had a company. Here's your zero. Next year, it's going to pay a dividend of, let's say, 75 cents. In year two, let's say it gets out a dividend of $1.05. In year three, it's not going to pay a dividend. In year four, it's going to pay a dividend of 80 cents. And then in year five, it's going to pay a dividend of $1.30. And that dividend is expected to grow from there on out at 3% per year after that. This place right here, the year in which the dividend comes to stability and growth, we have a name for it. It's called the horizon. It's called the horizon. Year five is the horizon. That's when the company grows up. What we can do here is we can actually find the value using the constant growth rate formula at the horizon. Take its present value and add to that the present values of all of the turbulent dividends, we've got the intrinsic value. In other words, the price at year five is going to be the dividend at year six, notice that it's always 1 year after, divided by R minus the G. Let's say that our R for this company is 9.2%. The risk of the market's risk assessment. Okay, so what we need to do is find the intrinsic value at year five. That would be $1.30 grown one more period times 1 plus 0.203, sorry, divided by R, 0.092, minus the G, 0.03. That would be it. That would be the horizon value, the intrinsic value at year five of this stock. And then we can take its present value and add to that the present values of all of those dividends before that. Add them all up and you've got the current intrinsic value. That's where the pain in the butt comes in, because you'll have to do each one as its own present value and then add them up. And I guarantee you, every time I try to do it, I make a mistake. But there's an app that will do this for you. I'm going to calculate that real quick here, make a point. 1.30 times 1 plus the constant growth rate divided by R, 0.092, minus G, 0.03, close the parentheses. So the horizon value at year 5, that takes into account all of the dividends after that, is $21.60. There's an app that we can use. It's not supposed to be used for this, but it works just fine. If you've got your calculator out, apps, I'll wait for a second before you get it out. Apps, finance. Go down here to the NPV. That's supposed to be used for net present values. But we can use it here, but you've got to remember a couple of things. NPV. Now, the first thing that this app wants is the discount rate, which in this case is 9.2. Now, you put in a comma. Now, the next thing that you put in is a zero. Because what that's supposed to be is an initial investment, a negative number. We're going to put nothing in. We're going to say it's zero, because we want to just calculate a pure present value of future cash flows. put in a comma. Now you open the braces because you're telling the TI-83, here come the positive cash flows. Second, open parenthesis, that'll create the brace, if you haven't remembered that from before. Now you're going to put in the dividends, one after the other. We had a dividend in the first year of 0.75, comma. Now here's where I need to make a point. The calculator is counting the years. It sees that 0.75, it says that's the first, that's year one, comma. You put in the 1.05, it says that's the second one, so that's year two. Now you put in the zero because it needs to know that that was year three. It's keeping count, comma, year four, 80 cents, comma. Now, here's the crucial part. Do not put in the $1.30. That's already included in the horizon value. All you do at this point is put in the horizon value, $32.596. Be sure you put in enough numbers. You're rounding doing it this way. So you don't want to have your final answer get too much rounding error. Now, obviously, on a quiz or an exam, I'll say, take any answer between these two as correct in case there is rounding error, but that can blow up on you pretty fast. Anyway, you've put in the horizon value. Now you close the brace because you're telling the calculator, I'm done. I gave you year five's value, the horizon value. So I'm closing the brace, and then I'm going to close the parenthesis to finish the calculation. And there it is, $23.12 is the intrinsic price of the stock. Now I want to point out to you one more time, $23.12. I want to point out to you one last time that's all there is to it. You just remember those steps. And also, if you don't like using an app, you can take the present value 1 year out of 75 cents, plus the present value 2 years out of $1.05, plus the present value 3 years out of zero, plus the present value 4 years out of 0.80, plus the present value 5 years out of the $21.60. And you can do it that way if you want to use the formula, the present value formula. But you notice how fast this is. You don't have to use the present value formula at all. In fact, watch this. That's the horizon value. That's the horizon value. Wait, did I do that wrong? It's 21. Oh, I did screw that up. My bad. Second answer. Oops, alpha. Oh, no. Second edit. I put in the wrong number. Where did I get that number I had? What was it? 21.59667? Wow. 59677. See, I did that just so you would see how easy it is to make a mistake. Yeah, about that. So it's actually $16.04. Hello. Wow. I can't even do arithmetic when the calculator is doing it for me. $16.04. There's your answer. Now that I've gone through that trauma, I want to show you a quick little thing. you don't have to calculate the horizon value separately. You could actually put the calculation right there for the fifth entry. Watch, second, edit the formula. Now I'm going to go back in, and instead of doing the 21, the horizon value, I could actually do its calculation, which was $1.30 times 1 plus the 0.025 divided by the R minus the G. Wait a minute, that's wrong up there. Look at that. I put in an 0.025 and I said the growth rate was 3%. Whew, I'm off my game today, as if I ever were really on it. Okay, now I can do the finish it off. The point that I was trying to make there was that you don't have to calculate the horizon value and then put it in. You can actually have that last year be the calculation of the horizon value. You can do math inside of those braces. Now, if I put it that way, $16.04. Now, if I had rounded too much in the first way I did it, by just calculating the number separately and putting it in, it could be off by a little bit. In this case, and I'm a little surprised by this, it actually comes out to be almost identical. So you can do it either way. You can calculate the horizon value separately and then use that for the value in the horizon year. Or you can just put the calculation for the horizon value in as the last year. But one thing is for sure, do not put in the $1.30. It's already part of the horizon value. That's the most common mistake I see when students are doing this, is they think that $1.30 goes in there. It doesn't, because it's already in there in the horizon value. Either way, though, you'll get your answer. Now, the last case would be, what if we don't have dividends? How do we do this if there's no dividend stream to use one of our models? That's when it comes down to something where we have to do enterprise calculation. I'll show you how to do that on Wednesday, but it is a kind of a difficult process, and it, generally you would see me do more of it in a more advanced class. So in a class like this, I will just give you sort of the outline of how it's done, where we actually go down and calculate free cash flow for a period of years, and then we take the present value of those free cash flows and get a possible intrinsic price. It's much less accurate, though. But anyway, it's time for you to get ready to take a quiz. And other than that, once you finish the quiz, it's 15 minutes. That's all I have for you today. And I thank you.